Here is, Chanukah is coming up, and we should probably discuss something related to Chanukah, but we also do Navi on Wednesday nights. So this is a problem. How can you talk about Chanukah and do Navi at the same time? So I realized that there's a Haftorah that we read on Shabbos Chanukah, which comes from the book of Zechariah, and that Haftorah actually is relevant for Chanukah, hence we read that Haftorah on Chanukah. Now, a few things... What?
It has ho-ho in it.
It has?
Ho-ho.
Ho-ho. Okay.
My question before we even get started is, if Shabbos Chanukah is Rosh Chodesh, you don't read this, because...
If Shabbos Chanukah is Rosh Chodesh...
Because Rosh Chodesh comes up more often...
So I believe our practice is that we do read this Haftorah. Anyway, even though there's a rule that Tadir v'she'enu Tadir, Tadir Kodem...
Really?
So Kodem means which one goes first. But in terms of being Docha the other, so the Rambam Siman Tafresh Pei Dalet, so if Beis, the Rambam Paskins, that when Shabbos Chanukah falls on Rosh Chodesh, we lay in Rosh Chodesh before Chanukah.
Right.
But we do the Haftorah of Chanukah anyway. Now there's a few reasons. One of the reasons for this is that the Haftorah is supposed to come from the last part of the reading, if possible. Right? The Haftorah every Shabbos is connected to the Parasha. But the Haftorah on Yomim Tovim and the like is connected to the Yontiv and is connected to the Maftir, which is the last Aliyah. So because Chanukah comes last, that's why the Haftorah would be last, yeah? So Rosh Chodesh Av, we do Yirmiyahu anyway because we don't knock off the Tzvasa de Paranisa. Those three Haftorahs of bad things to prepare for Tisha B'Av, we always do them straight up. Some people have a practice of adding some Psukim of Rosh Chodesh or not, right? That's the discussion there, but we do the Haftorah of it would be Divrei Yirmiyahu or something in that case.
What's the rationale of that?
I think we assume that it's considered more of a obligation to do that Haftorah to keep the setup to prepare for Tisha B'Av. I don't remember exactly why. I'd have to look into it. Okay, now, so the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah comes from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah is a very complicated Navi. If you turn to page 3 over here, which is actually the last page that's printed, the first Rashi in Zechariah writes that the Nevuah of Zechariah is Satumahi Ma'ot. Right? Zechariah's Nevuah is very hidden. Ki yesh b'maros domos l'chalom hanitan l'pitaron. Ve'ein on yochonu la'amod al amitas pitrono adei ba more tzedek. Says Rashi, Zechariah's Nevuah has many images that lend themselves to interpretation, but we can't interpret them until more tzedek, which doesn't mean the great rabbi, it means until Mashiach comes, right? Ulafi hayecholas etein lev liyashev hamikraos echad echad min hapitronos hadomoso va'achar pitronos shel Yonasan. Says Rashi, I will try to explain it to the best of my ability, but I might not be able to. So Zechariah is really difficult to explain. That's point one. Point two, the history of the Nevuah of Zechariah. Zechariah, together with Haggai and Malachi, are the last Nevi'im. Right, the last of the last. Right, Malachi is someone I'm very fond of. His name is Ezra, according to tradition. That is the Nevuah of Malachi. Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi are all giving prophecy at the time when King Koresh gave the Jews permission to go up and build the Beis HaMikdash, but we didn't really go. The Jewish people just wasn't so interested. So they didn't want to go up and build the Beit HaMikdash at the time of Koresh. Those who went, the book of Ezra tells us, were basically, as the Rebbe of Shlomo would call them, the lowest of the low. Right? These are the Mamzerim and the freed slaves and all of the people from the lowest strata of society are the people who go up. very few of the leaders actually go up to try to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. There are two great individuals who do listen, and this is found in the book of Haggai mostly, who do listen to the Navi and say, we're going to go up and build the Beis HaMikdash. We will encounter them in the Nevuah of Zechariah a little bit later. One is Yehoshua, who is the Kohen Gadol, and the other is Zerubbabel, who is the political leader. Right? So we have a Kohen Gadol and a political leader. By the way, these are always the two positions, so to speak, throughout Nevi'im. Right? You have a Kohen and you have a spiritual leader and a political leader. And these two individuals are going to go up and listen to the Navi to go and build the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we're not learning the book of Haggai. Haggai comes right before Zechariah. But Rav Yoel ben Nun makes a fascinating point that this time period of Haggai / Zechariah, same time, basically, if you read the dates in Sefer Haggai and Zechariah, Haggai is giving the Nevuah 2 months before Zechariah. That's exactly the same time, no? 2 months is... Haggai is trying to encourage everyone to go up and build the Beis HaMikdash because Koresh gave them permission. People don't want to go. God sends a famine. This is chapter 1 in the book of Haggai. God sends a famine and God said, you know what, I'm going to punish you. You don't want to go up. You have to go and build the Beis HaMikdash. That is chapter 1 in Haggai. Then, eventually, after this famine, so some of the people decide to listen to God and they are going to go up to build this Beis HaMikdash like we mentioned. And the Nevuah that Haggai gives, fascinatingly, is, ready? Be'esrim va'arba'a latashi'i b'shnas shtayim l'dayavesh hayodvar Hashem b'yad Haggai ha'navi le'mar. This is the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 10, which is right before the book of Zechariah. Now, the 24th day of the 9th month. Okay, who wants to count? What's the 9th month? Starting from Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. 24th day of Kislev, there is Nevuah to Haggai the Navi. Now, but by the way, higher mathematics. Ready? 24th day of Kislev comes right before the 25th day of Kislev. You got it, right? You win, I don't know, 5-pound bag of rice. I have no idea. But the fact is, right, the Nevuah in year 2 of Daryavesh, and it's interesting, by the way, that the years are marked by years of the Persian king, because we don't have autonomy now. Right? The year 2 of Daryavesh, God speaks to Haggai, and God basically tells Haggai to give a Nevuah to the Kohanim about how you should act in the Beit HaMikdash not to make mitame. Right? This is all chapter 2 in Haggai. And then the pasuk says, on this day, you should pay attention. From the 24th day of the 9th month, which again is Kislev, which is the day, from the day that the temple is Yusad. Yusad means it's put on its foundations. Right? Now, again, if the Nevuah was on the 24th day of Kislev, it would make sense that the day when the temple was really rebuilt is the 25th day. And the Nevuah that Haggai gives basically is there any fruit that's left? Now, the Mishnayos and Bikurim say that the Jewish people can bring Bikurim until Chanukah. Because Chanukah is the very end of the period when the last fruits that ripen are now supposed to be done. The olive is the last one of the Shivas Haminim that becomes ripe. This is all Rav Yoel Ben Nun has an essay about this that I found on the Gush website today. Because, by the way, I know nothing about Chagai and Zechariah. Again, just speaking to my high school education, didn't even know these books existed, right? I'm probably not the only one. But there's Tochen here. Now, the fact is the olive ripens last. And the Mishnayis say that at this time, right, the Jewish people, that's the end of bringing Bikurim. The end of the first fruits is going to be Chanukah. Why? That's the end of the olive. Now, another thing that's interesting to note about this holiday that we call Chanukah is, Chanukah usually falls out in the calendar. What is it now? Today's December the 21st. First day of winter.
Shortest day of the year.
Now, shortest days of the year. Now, what's interesting about the shortest days of the year? What's interesting about the shortest days of the year is that the Gemara tells us that Adam HaRishon at one point is getting really scared because he thinks that the world is ending. He thinks that the night is getting longer, 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 the day is getting shorter, 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 eventually there's going to be no day left, right? And Adam HaRishon, right, decides, oh my gosh, like this is really bad, I have to do tshuva. So 8 days before the winter solstice, Adam HaRishon starts fasting. After the winter solstice, suddenly the days begin to get longer. Adam HaRishon, the next year, makes a holiday. Mm. Now, by the way, the Gemara tells us that the origins of one of those holidays at the beginning of Avodah Zarah called December 25th. Right? You heard of that one? Right? The origins of that is this time of year. Mm. But says Rabbi Yoel Ben Nun, beautifully, we see a real connection between the Gemara's description of Adam HaRishon worrying that night's getting longer, days getting shorter, I'm dying. There's more darkness. The way you combat darkness is you light candles, no? And this is the time of year when the olives are finally done, so you have oil with which to light. Hence, Chanukah. Right? That's his essay in a nutshell. It's about the book of Chagai mostly, but we'll talk more about Zechariah, which is our Haftarah for Chanukah. That's point one. Point two, the history of Chanukah, which you also don't learn much in high school. In elementary school, like my kid, my Yosef Dov, my 5-year-old, is like talking about how strong the Maccabees are, and he decided he's a Maccabee, so he's like jumping off the couch and hitting his sister because he's a Maccabee. I don't know what made her a Greek, but this is, I think, standard nursery school stuff. We don't know very much from our traditional sources, rabbinic sources, about the war. Correct? We know from rabbinic sources about a miracle with the oil.
Yeah, but if you look at
Al-Anisim... it's all about the war. Right. But in rabbinic sources, in the Gemara, very little. The sources about the war, yeah? Is in the Apocrypha. It's in the book of Maccabees. Right? Or the book of the Hashmonaim, if you use the Jewish term for it. There are 4 books of Maccabees. Books 1 and 2 are history. Books 3 and 4 are philosophy. Mm-hmm. Most of us, I think, have never read it.
I did.
At some point, maybe. By the way, it's not even in all the versions of the Apocrypha. There's a difference between the Catholic canon and the Protestant canon in terms of whether this book makes.
Maccabees is definitely not in the Protestant.
Correct.
It's in the Catholic canon.
It's in the Catholic canon, not the Protestant canon. That, which itself, I have no idea why. I don't know. But in the book of Maccabees, they tell us that they had this fellow named Antiochus Epiphanes, also called Antiochus Epimanes. Epiphanes means he's the great one, Epimanes means the madman. And Antiochus, for some reason, wanted to persecute the Jews more than all the other countries in the Seleucid Empire. right? The Greeks, now I think we can explain the reason why in a minute, but the Seleucid Greeks, remember, after Alexander the Great passes away, the empire is divided up into four parts. Seleucid is in charge of the part of Eretz Yisrael. The Seleucid Greeks generally allowed each nation to worship on their own, but they wanted an official state religion called the religion of the Greeks. But the Jewish people weren't so going for that, and hence their Antiochus made all these laws that the Jews had to worship Avodah Zarah, and that part we know. Now, the book of Maccabees says that on the 25th day of Kislev, the Greeks, the Seleucid Greeks, took the temple in Jerusalem and made it into a temple for Zeus. Why did they choose the 25th day of Kislev? Because in Chagai, that is a day when the temple is built, and they want to turn the tables. So Yehuda Maccabee and the Maccabees, when they turn the tables again and they get rid of Zeus, they do that on the 25th day of Kislev, they rededicate the temple. Why that date? That's an important date in Judaism. Because in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 10, right, that's what we see. This is all of Yoel ben Nun's theory, which I think is interesting. Now, let's go into Zechariah. Same time as Haggai. Jewish people have an opportunity to go up and build the Beis HaMikdash with Koresh. People are generally not listening. And the Jewish people at this point really feel despondent. One of the reasons why they're not listening, and the Navi Zechariah speaks about this in chapter 1 and chapter 2 and the parts before we get to our Haftorah, the Navi is saying that what you guys believe that God forgot about you. You guys believe that you don't have a connection to Hashem anymore. Not only that, the nations of the world are taunting you, and the nations of the world are saying, you know what, Jews? You're forgotten about. It's over. Your glory days are in the past. And they began to believe it. So the Navi Zechariah has to give the Jewish people courage, strength. He has to make them believe that better things will happen. That they should go up to Yerushalayim, that the temple can be rebuilt, etc. They have permission officially, but apparently that didn't create the groundswell. They're not going because the morale is really low.
Where was the famine? Bavel?
The famine was in Bavel. And the famine is to try to get them to do tshuva so that they'll leave Bavel and go to... But it still didn't work. Right, Chagai does not seem to be a particularly successful Navi. Then again, I think most Naviim didn't have such great success. That's a different story. But Zechariah comes, and Zechariah is trying to encourage the Jewish people to say that Yerushalayim is going to be rebuilt. And he gives at the beginning of chapter 2 in Zechariah, the part that's in bold is not part of a Haftorah, but he gives them a very bold message, a very positive message, that tell them that Yerushalayim will be inhabited without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. Perazos teshev Yerushalayim, meirov adam uvheima betocha, v'ani ayalanu Hashem chomas eisaviv uchavod ayah betocha. But this is a glorious nevuah. God is saying Yerushalayim will be resettled. Right? There's going to be so many people that the walls can't contain them. Won't you be attacked? Right? Walls protect you. So God says, Ani eyalachom asaviv. Hashem says, I will protect them. Right? Flee north. Go. Right? That's what the Navi is saying. Now, when did this ever happen? When did Did it ever happen? Was Bias Sheni a glorious time?
Not really.
Not at all. Bias Sheni is, right? What we're learning now in Sefer Melachim is we have a period called Shlomo, then it's downhill basically, after Shlomo. No battles between the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, but that period is great compared to Bayis Sheni. Bayis Sheni, we are a very small, minor player in the world. That's what we are, Bayis Sheni. So what is this Nevuah of Zechariah about? Zechariah says Yerushalayim will be inhabited. Yerushalayim will take over. Now, there are two ways of understanding this. And now I'm quoting, the Gush came out with a book. I don't remember if it's a year ago, 2 years ago, 2013. The good thing about the YU library, by the way, is that you can take books out and they have really good books. Just right, and you can use it to prepare shiurim, and it's very helpful. You have to eventually remember to return them or be able to find them where they are on your shelf. The good thing about being a faculty member is you get 6 months with a book out. So I read a book like one day and I just leave it on my shelf. That's a different story. Please don't get me in trouble. But the fact is that Rav Meidan, the current Rosh Hashiva in the Gush, Rav Meidan in his article about this Haftorah, Rav Meidan has two possibilities, which I think everyone has. The Radak has, and the Rishonim, everyone has. One possibility is that the Nevuah Zechariah is going on the near future. And Zechariah is telling people, if you go up now, Yerushalayim will be inherited. It will be inhabited. It will be glorious. But we didn't listen. So the Nevuah wasn't met. The other possibility is that the Nevuah will be met still, la'asid lavo. These are not necessarily contradictory. It should have been met then, but la'asid lavo, in the future, right? By the way, Zechariah, we believe, is the Navi who's talking about Bayis Shlishi in our tradition the most. Old Yeshu Zakenu Zakenos Berchobos Yerushalayim, right? That everyone is going to be in the streets. It's a glorious time. It didn't happen. But it doesn't particularly matter because we're talking about Bayis Shlishi. So now we're ready to begin our Haftorah. Now, just a few points about our Haftorah. There are three sections in this Haftorah. There's chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, which, if you look at carefully, basically says that all the goyim will go up to Yerushalayim, God will live amongst the Jews, it'll be nice. Then there's an image that Yehoshua, that Zechariah gets, an image of Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, the Satan's trying to prosecute him, and God then screams at the Satan, right? Because Yehoshua, don't touch Yehoshua. But Yehoshua is wearing dirty clothing, and God tells Yehoshua, take off your dirty clothing and put on clean clothing. And then God says, if you listen to me, everything will be wonderful. That's Pasuk 7, right? If you listen, everything will be great. And there's going to be a stone with 7 facets on that stone. Apparently this stone is going to be like a foundation stone that Yehoshua will place, and there'll be 7 facets on that, and everyone will live comfortably and happy. So what we have is the end of chapter 2 is about how the Jewish people should be happy and the Goyim will also stream to Yerushalayim. Chapter 3 is this image of Yehoshua taking off the dirty clothing, the image of the rack with 7 facets. And then that's chapter 3. And chapter 4 is another image that he has. And this is the famous image of the menorah, of golden menorah. Again, if you look in chapter 4, Pasuk 2, right? What do you see, Zechariah? So he says, oh, I see a menorah that's made of pure gold, and there's a bowl on top of it, and there are 7 candles, etc. Now, presumably, the Haftorah was chosen because of this verse, because of the menorah. But what the heck does the beginning of this Haftorah have to do with it? No? If it's only because of the menorah, so I could, save myself 5 minutes. Why do I need the whole... Now, you're going to tell me, well, we have a minimum size for Haftorahs, no? Haftorahs are supposed to be at least 21 psukim. No? 3 psukim for each aliyah. Well, there's a problem here because we don't get 21 psukim. Even with, right, this addition, right, we don't get 21 psukim because chapter 3 is 10 psukim. So 10 plus 7 is 17 plus 1, 2, 3, 4. Actually, no, it doesn't. It equals 21 exactly. So maybe we have it just to get to 21. Could be. I don't know. Now, there's probably some link to Hanukkah. So let's go back and do these psukim again. Rani v'simchi bas tzion. Be happy, rejoice. Because God is saying, I'm coming and I will live amongst you. And all the nations will stream, go up to Hashem, and they will be my nation, and I will live amongst you, and you will know that God sent me. And God will inherit Yehuda, and He will choose Yerushalayim again. And you should be silent in the presence of Hashem, because Hashem is aroused mima'on kadsho from His holy abode. Beautiful imagery. No idea what it's talking about. And what does it have to do with Hanukkah? So, the idea might be as follows. Why is it that Antiochus is persecuting the Jews and he's not persecuting any of the other nations in his kingdom? The answer probably is that Jewish people, unlike other nations, are not particularly tolerant. Because our God is intolerant. Our God is a jealous God. Kel Kana. That means other religions will say, you know what? Worship us, worship him, let it stay, right? Let it be, right? Kumbaya, everything is great. But the Jewish people can't do that. Hashem doesn't want Avodah Zarah in his country, right? Hashem tells the Jews, and the Jewish people traditionally are saying, we can't do that. We can't do Avodah Zarah, no? So, the other nations allowed the Seleucid Greeks to build temples to Zeus, and they didn't do much because, okay, so there are other temples here. But for the Jews, right, the only way to get Zeus in is to get rid of Hashem. So, the Jewish people, Antiochus has to really persecute them later on in the time of Hanukkah. Now, the Navi Zechariah, assuming that this Nevuah is talking about Hanukkah, which is the way Abarbanel learns this Nevuah, the Navi Zechariah is telling the Jews, don't worry, Zarg Zechnisht. Eventually you'll be happy, Hashem will dwell amongst you, right? And all those nations of the world are going to end up worshipping Hashem also. So far so good? V'novu goyim rabim el Hashem, right? It could be this Nevuah is talking about the aftermath of this time period, saying, don't worry so much, the nations of the world will also serve God. Now, here's the problem. There is really a conflict between universalism and particularism over here. Do we assume that there can be a universal religion for everybody? Well, probably, right? That's like messianic times, no? Everyone's going to worship God. That's great. But when you take the universal idea too far, you begin to question Bechiras Am Yisrael. How can, are the Jewish people going to be special after all the nations of the world worship Hashem? So the Navi Zechariah is saying, you know what, there's going to be a glorious time. Maybe it's talking about Bayis Shlishi, like we said. Maybe it's potentially now. Go up, Rani V'Simchi, be happy. Right? Hashem's going to be amongst you, but Hashem is going to be among the Goyim also. V'novu Goyim Rabim al Hashem, all the nations will join to Hashem. But, nonetheless, V'shachanti B'Solcheich. Nonetheless, right, the Jewish people will still have a special relationship. Now, what that special relationship means after everyone worships Hashem is as follows. The Kuzari writes that Nevuah is only something that the Jewish people can get. Bilam, this is the one exception. But there is a special, even after everyone worships God, there's a special relationship that the Jewish people have to Hashem. So this conflict between universalism and particularism, which by the way is the conflict, people don't remember that Hanukkah was a civil war. Matisyahu and his band are fighting against the Hellenistic Jews. The Hellenistic Jews are into universalism. Right? Everyone, right? Let's all worship the same way. And they're saying it's not really so, it's not so bad. Matisyahu says, no. We have our way of doing things. Only, right? So this tension, the Navi is saying, again, assuming it's talking about the Hanukkah period, it's talking about the shorter term future, don't think that universalism will mean that we lose all of our special, all of our special things. Now, I'm with you.
This is talking about by Shlishi. How does this fit in with Hanukkah?
It doesn't. I mean, or by Shlishi, if either we're talking about like the near future of right now that we should go up, or we're talking about Chanukah, or we're talking about Bayis Shlishi, all the ideas are possible. Again, the Nevuah of Zechariah is very unclear. That's basically what we're trying to get at.
Why did they pick something that we...
Oh, I mean, the verses are gorgeous.
No, I
don't know.
I get that, but I'm saying that if we're not sure that they're really talking about Chanukah...
So we have a menorah image, but we're trying to develop an idea that even the beginning of this Haftorah also is a Chanukah. Let's go on. Okay, so then Zechariah is showing Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, and Yehoshua is standing before an angel, and there's a Satan who's standing on the right side of Yehoshua. Right? There's a Satan who's there. And God screams at the Satan, and then God says, I chose Yerushalayim, get out of here, get lost. Haloza Ud Mutsalme Esh. This person, Yehoshua, is an Ud Mutsalme Esh. He is, how they translate it, it's a brand plucked out of the fire. Right? That's the English translation. Now, the story is like this. Yehoshua the Kohen Gadol, Rashi in the Radak calls Warren, has a satan who's prosecuting him. Because Yehoshua's... What was the major sin of the Jewish people at this point?
Not making aliyah
is one. Number two, or it's hard to know which is, intermarriage. The Psukim in Ezra and Nehemiah say that they had to have a mass movement to divorce their non-Jewish wives. Not only that, Ein Bayis HaShe'en Shameis, the household of Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, his own children intermarried. And the Satan is prosecuting Yehoshua, the way Rashi and the Radak learn, and the Satan is saying, you know what, he doesn't deserve to be a Kohen Gadol to help with a new Beis HaMikdash because his children intermarried. So Hashem screams at the Satan. And God says, don't prosecute him. Haloza ud mutsalme esh. He is a brand plucked from the fire. Meaning, he was thrown in, according to Chazal, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah, and Yehoshua are all thrown into the fire. Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah come out clean. But Yehoshua, the Kohen Gadol, has his garments that begin to burn. So he is Ud Mutsalme Esh. He is rescued from the fire, plucked out of the fire. He should have died. Now, Yehoshua is wearing filthy garments. Filthy garments means not the regal garments of a Kohen Gadol, but he's full of sin. Sins of his family, right? The Jewish people are not doing well. And he's standing in front of the angel. And the angel says, you know what, forget about your own sins. Remember, put on, take off those dirty garments, put on clean garments, and wear your robes, and put a tzanif tahar arosho, put a a hat on your head, and he wears clothing, etc. Now, effectively, what's going on over here, Rav Meidan explains, is that the Jewish people did not deserve to have a Beis HaMikdash rebuilt for them. They are all sinning. Even Yahushua the Kohen Gadol is sinning. But Hashem says, I will do it for them because it's Ud Mitzal Me'esh. They're like that last burned thing. God, it's like having Rachmanis on this partially burned item. Similar to Mitzrayim, we did not deserve to be saved. We did not deserve to be saved in Mitzrayim. We come out because God heard our screaming, not because we even connected to Hashem. Now,
can you say that also of the Mishkan, because we committed a sin before them?
For what?
We committed the sin of Egel. So,
I mean, I don't know if that connects to this episode per se.
No, I'm not saying it connects to this episode. I'm saying it's kind of the same thing. Because we didn't really deserve the Mishkan, but God...
Again, the history of the Jewish people is a history of doing lots of sin. That I'll agree with.
Yeah.
Now, the pasuk continues that Hashem, the Malach tells Yehoshua, if you listen to me and you continue to follow my path, I will make you walk amongst these angels. Right, the Nefesh HaChaim comments that in some ways humans are on a higher level than angels. Angels are umdim, they stay in one place. Humans have the ability to ascend. And the Navi continues, that effectively, Yehoshua, if you listen to what we're doing, you establish a stone so everything will be okay and will be fine. Now, here's the problem. This story talks about a Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and at the end we're going to talk about Zerubbabel, who's the political leader. If we take this Chanukah story seriously, or the Chanukah connection to the Nevor Zechariah seriously, what we're really doing is we're giving the Chashmonaim Musar. The Ramban al-HaTorah writes that they made a mistake when they became kings. No? Because they're Kohanim. And Kohanim aren't supposed to be kings.
Right.
Effectively, what the Navi is saying is that you have a Yehoshua Kohen Gadol, and you have a Zerubbabel, who's the leader, and it's two separate people. It shouldn't be in the same... You shouldn't be in the same person. And that's part of the connection to Chanukah, just this repetition again and again that Yehoshua and Zerubbabel are different and the Chashmonaim did something wrong. Now,
Zerubbabel from Shevet Yehuda?
Zerubbabel from Shevet Yehuda. Right? The next Nevuah, chapter 4, is the Nevuah of the Menorah. Now, when you think about it, the two Nevuahs, chapter 3 and chapter 4, represent two separate images. There's the image of the stone and the image of the menorah. The image of the menorah is the image for a Kohen. The image of the stone is the image for a leader. Right? The leader is supposed to be like this rock that you can't overturn. Now, the image of the menorah is more glorious than the image of any other menorah that we have. It's a menorah of pure gold. There's a bowl on top. There are seven candles in it. Shiva b'shiva mutzakot. And then there are seven pipes lead to each of these seven lamps. No? That's the way the English here translates it. In the Dat Mikra, the Pink Tanakh, they translate it that you have seven candles, and each candle of seven had seven smaller candles in it, for a total of 49 candles. The stone has seven facets. Right? Basically what we're saying is that this one thing, if you follow the Torah, will spread out seven times. That's the opposite of the Tochacha. The Tochacha says that if you do one sin, you'll be punished sheva kechato seichem. Now we're saying you do one, you do mitzvahs, you get seven rewards. Effectively, what we're saying, and there are two olive trees here, one on the right, one on the left. One olive tree represents Yehoshua, the other represents Zerubbabel. These are producing the oil that goes into this menorah, and it should be the most glorious menorah ever. But it didn't happen yet. This is an image, probably, for the future. Probably for Bayis Shlishi. What the connection to Chanukah is just the menorah, and the fact that it's at the time of year when the olives have just been, just gone through their last harvest, like we mentioned before. So what's interesting is as follows. Nevuah number, chapter 3 is a Nevuah about Yehoshua, chapter 4 is a Nevuah about Zerubbabel, yet chapter 4 is about the menorah, and chapter 3 is about the stone. There's supposed to be a shituf pu'ula between these two. They're supposed to cooperate. They're supposed to do, so you can't have one without the other. And that's why the Nevuah about the menorah has Zerubbabel, and the Nevuah about the stone, right? That's really, again, we're trying to do the best we can, but it's such a hard Haftarah. Zachariah is so difficult. The most memorable verse in this Haftarah is, Zeh Devar Hashem Az Rubavel, Lo Bechayo Velo Bekoach Kim Beruchi. Right? It's not about strength, it's not about military prowess, it's about God's spirit. Meaning, right? First of all, don't think as political leader it's about your might. You will need a Yehoshua with you. You need a Kohen Gadol. But in the Chanukah context, that means that the victory that we have on Chanukah is because of God's Spirit. Lo b'chayo lo b'koach kiyin b'ruchi. Any great mountain that comes in front of Zerubbabel will be destroyed, etc. Because Rubavel has tremendous power, but it's not his own power, it is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now there are different ways of reading this. Lo b'chav lo b'koach kim b'ruchi might mean that we did not get saved, or we did not have a Beis HaMikdash number 2 built, and a Beis HaMikdash number 3 eventually built because of we deserved it. Kim b'ruchi, Hashem said we need it. Ud mutzal me'esh, right? That could be the explanation. Alternatively, it could be, and Rav Soloveitchik, Rav Shechter in his introduction to the Nefesh HaRav quotes that Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha once about the Haftorah of Shabbos Chanukah, where the Rav spoke about this entire Nevuah is very hard. Right? The Navi shows the Navi Zechariah is shown a menorah. What is it? Oh, I don't know what it is. Well, what is it? I don't know. Right? The whole thing, like, why are you showing him something if you don't know? Earlier he did know. He knows about the stone with seven facets. How come he doesn't know about the menorah? The whole thing is hard to understand. But rather, says the Rav, the idea of this Nevuah is that you're talking about a menorah that will be magically filled with olive oil, and everything will be lit. When on earth did this happen? And the question that the Navi Zechariah is asking, he can't understand, is like, when did we have something like this? I look at Bayis Sheni, I don't see it. So Hashem responds, Hashem says, no, you're misunderstanding. This is not about Bayis Sheni, it's about Bayis Shlishi. But Bayis Shlishi, right, shouldn't the Kedusha no longer be... When do you have Kedusha in a Bayis Shlishi now? What's going on? So the answer is, the Rambam writes that Bayis Rishon's Kedusha evaporated because the Kedusha set in because we conquered. Bayashini's Kedusha didn't evaporate, because the Kedusha came al yidei chazaka. It came through some Kedusha that Hashem placed down on its own, and that Kedusha, because of the Shechina never evaporated. Bayashlishi is really a continuation of Bayashini. And the Nevuah of Chanukah, where the Nevuah is, you know what, you rededicate a second Beis HaMikdash. Why are you so happy? What is Chanukah? Right? So we had a few years, right, of what? Sovereignty? Wasn't much sovereignty. Right? Why are we so happy on Chanukah? The answer is that Chanukah is a time that we're happy because we're setting the table for Bayashlishi that will be built. And the Kedusha of Bayashlishi came about when they rededicated Chanukah. That was the drasha the Rav gave. Not sure exactly how all the pieces fit together, but like we mentioned from Rashi at the beginning of Zechariah, no one really knows how these nevuahs come together. It's so, if we have anything to add here, I'd appreciate it. I feel stuck. But we're trying to do the best we can. So this is the Haftarah for Chanukah, and thank you for listening, and have a good night.